Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.
Today, we're going to talk about getting to know and developing relationship with God a little bit more in your life. So to help us do that, stand up and go get into a group and make sure you don't know the names of anybody in your group, if you can. You don't want the names of anybody in your group. Do your best. You guys, I want you to share three things with each other. Okay, pay attention. Here it is. You're going to share three things with each other. One, your names, and here's the deal with that. Y'all have to memorize each other's names. So you have to know each other's names. And you can't cheat. You can't cheat with their name tag. There's going to be a quiz later, so make sure you know their names. Second, you need to tell each other where you're from. And third is your favorite scripture characters, favorite person from the scriptures. Okay, so when you say it, like, you don't have to, like, go into the whole story, right? So there's this guy named Adam, and he started building this ship, and it's really cool. Like, don't do all that. Just the name and maybe just a quick summary, like Noah and the Ark, you know, like that kind of a quick thing. Just that's it. So name, where you're from, and favorite scripture person. Got it? Okay, here's the deal, though. You got to go in order of age. Oldest to youngest. Oldest to youngest. Age of the group. All right, everybody finished? We good? Okay, perfect. Who is from the furthest away? Where are you from? Alaska. Beat it. I dare you. No? Nobody? Right on, brother. Who's from the closest? How far away? Closest to right this spot. 5 minutes. Okay, one last thing. Favorite animal. And you'll all have 10 seconds to tell each other your favorite animal. Okay, raise your hand if you said a snake. Anybody here say a snake? Miles said a snake. I hate snakes. I went on my mission to Thailand, and Thailand has a lot of snakes. It's jungle, and almost all of their snakes are poisonous, except for the constrictors. They're not poisonous, but they're during the wet season. So they have this one. They have three seasons. At least this is what they call them. They call one the wet season, one the cold season, one the hot season. It's really hot, hotter, and hottest. So the wet season just rains like crazy, like buckets, dumping buckets on you. And so because of all the water, the snakes come out. Because they don't like to be in their holes when it's, you know, when they're drowning. So they're out a lot. So like one time, me and my companion were on a dirt road on our bikes, and we were riding, and we turned this little bit of a corner into this little straightaway, and there were three or four snakes going, like, sunning themselves in the middle of the road. And we were going pretty fast on our bikes. And I was in the front, and I didn't have time to stop. I didn't have time to do anything except lift my legs up. And so they coil, right? These snakes react to that, and my companion behind me is like, ah! And so he was able to avoid them. But like snakes are everywhere, and they drive me nuts. I don't like snakes. Ah! Okay, let me tell you a quick story. So you guys study in the Old Testament? You guys know anything about the Old Testament? So there's one story we haven't gotten to yet, but we will soon, and it's about Moses and the children of Israel. So Moses got them out of Egypt. We'll get to that later too in the coming week. So Moses gets the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they're out wandering in the wilderness. And at one point, they're whining and complaining a lot, the children of Israel are. And so God does something to kind of wake them up. All right, actually, we're going to go there. Let's do it. Let's go in the scriptures. Go in the scriptures to the book of Numbers. Look around. If somebody doesn't have scriptures, then you got to share. In chapter 21. So we're going to be looking in verses 4 through 9. 4 through 9, okay? So here's the story. Verse 4, Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass, that means go around, the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God. Here's a quick hint. Probably not good to speak against God ever. But they did. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you, then this is what they said. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Why did you bring us out of Egypt if we're just going to bring out in the wilderness and have us die of hunger and thirst and bad stuff? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. What is the light bread they're talking about there? The manna. Like, this is miraculous bread from heaven that they're given every single day. A miracle every day. And they're like, ugh. But, I mean, I can understand a little bit. Have you ever had the same thing, like, twice in a row? Like, leftovers? Ugh. Like, you get tired of it, right? This is, they're feeling super tired of this light bread, they called it. So here's what the Lord does. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. What is a fiery serpent? Yes. How do you know it's poisonous? Oh, it says so in the footnote. Will you guys, if it's your scriptures, maybe mark that. Maybe mark that if you want to. Yeah, it's just poisonous snakes. That's all that meant. So he sends poisonous snakes among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So they're complaining, and all of a sudden all these snakes show up and start biting them. I don't know if they went into this like snake-infested area or what the deal was, but these are aggressive snakes, and they're biting people, and people are dying. And so, what do the people do? Well, verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. That's a beautiful thing to have a prophet praying for you. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. By the way, this is the actual one Moses made. Yeah, totally. Yeah, this is the actual one that Moses made. They found it in an archaeological dig. It's pretty sweet. And I ended up with it. So that's... Now, here's the crazy thing about this whole story. So do you think it saved everybody? It didn't. This didn't save everybody. This is the end of the story in the Old Testament. That's as far as we get from the Old Testament. But luckily in the Book of Mormon, it's mentioned. And we get a little bit better view. So go in your scriptures. 1 Nephi chapter 17. 1 Nephi chapter 17, verse 41. This is talking about that same story. This is Nephi, and he's getting upset with his... Well, not getting upset. He's trying to teach his brothers. And so here's the deal. This is what he says to him. And he did straighten them, meaning God did straighten them in the wilderness, them, the children of Israel. What does straighten mean? Notice that's a weird spelling. What do you notice about that spelling? What does straighten mean? Wait, girls. So yeah, I know you girls know what straighten means. I got daughters. I know you know what straighten means. What does it mean to straighten? Yeah, to make it not curvy, right? Like, how many of you ever used a straightener before, right? To make your hair not curvy, make it straight. But guess what? That's how do you spell that usually? With a G-H, right? This isn't that. This is actually a different word. If you have the electronic one, just hold on it until something pops up, and one of them should be define. Hit that define button. What comes up? What is the word? What does this version of straighten mean? To make or become narrow. This is not straighten as in not curvy. It means narrow. To kind of hem them in. So the Lord did kind of help narrow their way. What does that sound like? Straight and narrow way. Oh, I've heard of that before. Good. Okay. So he's trying to get them on the straight and narrow way in the wilderness with his rod, for they hardened their hearts, even as you have, and the Lord straightened them because of their iniquity. And he sent fiery flying serpents among them, and after they were bitten, he prepared a way that they might be healed. And the labor which they had to perform was to do what? Look. That's all they had to do. They just had to look. And because of the simpleness of the way, or the easiness of it, there were many who perished. So when I asked, did it save everybody, you said no. Was it because this didn't have power to do it? Probably more accurately should ask, because God didn't have power to do it? No, that's not the reason. Why didn't it save everybody? Because they just wouldn't do it. They wouldn't look at it, right? Like, why? Because it was too easy. why did God ask Moses to do this? Why this thing? Why this as a symbol to hold up in front of everybody? Yeah. Did that come across your mind when you first saw that, the cross on it, that it's made in a cross? Think about that. Okay, perfect. Yeah. So in what way would you say this is a good symbol of Jesus in regards to, or in comparison to, that experience they were having with the snakes? He can always heal us, but we have to do something, don't we? Sometimes it is. It's a simple thing, but sometimes because of the simpleness, we don't do it. So this is a beautiful symbol of Christ. But we want to get to know Christ, there's a couple of things that we can do to help us get to know Christ. And they're easy. They're simple. But sometimes because of the simpleness of the way and the easiness of the way, people don't do them. P-R-O-S, that's all it says. All right, here's what we're going to do with these. We're going to use these to help us understand the very, very, very simple things that we need to do, and to keep this in your mind, not understand because you already understand it, but to remind you to do it, just like the serpent on the pole. You just got to look, right? It's super simple, but you got to look. Okay, P stands for pray. So if I'm going to say P, you'll say pray, and I'll say when, and you'll say every day. Let's try it. P.
Every day.
When.
Every day.
R. Anybody want to guess? Repent. Read. And I'm going to ask what, and you're going to say the scriptures, right? Okay, so R.
Read.
What?
The scriptures.
Good. Okay, I want you to do the hand things too. All right, we're going to do this. Okay, so let's go back to the, all right. P.
Pray.
When.
Every day.
There you go. R.
What? The
scriptures. Sweet. O is obey. What? Obey. The commandments. Got it? O.
Obey.
What?
The commandments.
You got it. S is for serve. How? With your heart. You got it? S.
Serve.
How?
With your heart.
All right, one more time. P.
Pray.
When?
Every day.
R. What? Oh.
Obey.
What?
Commandments.
S.
Serve.
How?
With your heart.
You got it. Nailed it. All right. Today, with what time we have left, we don't have time to like dive into all four of these a lot. We're going to focus in on one of them that's going to hopefully help you. And I wish we had a few more scriptures, but it's still going to work, right? It's still going to work? Okay, good. So P, when I say pray, and you said every day, what is really helpful if you'll do is at least twice a day, if you'll kneel down on the ground and offer a personal silent prayer, or you can do vocal, I don't care, a personal prayer. Now, why does it matter if you kneel on the ground and give that prayer? Why does that matter? Why would I suggest you do that? Can God not hear a prayer if you're not on your knees? I tell you what, I used to be in the National Guard, and I was in a unit that we jumped out of airplanes like every other month. I guarantee you God hears prayers that are given sometimes when you're not on your knees. Right? So why am I saying you should get on your knees to pray twice a day? He is the most powerful being in the universe or beyond. I don't know. Right? And who are we? Yet we're going to come to him and be like, hey, what's up? Really? Remember who it is that you're speaking to. Now, I know he's also our father, right? And so sometimes that feeling of closeness with your father makes you want to be a little bit more comfortable, which is fine. But we also need to remember who he is and show the proper respect. And so doing that every day will help you feel a little bit more humble and help you communicate with him better. Excellent. R is read the scriptures. We're going to come back to that one in a second. So we'll skip to O. What was O? I don't remember. O.
Obey.
What?
Obey.
Yeah, you guys know these better than I do. Okay. O, and why would you want to obey the commandments? How will that help you know God better? Anybody know the scripture, if ye love me? We express our love to God by keeping his commandments. And sometimes our love, not sometimes, it also works, that your love for him deepens and increases as you keep his commandments.
Because part of it is you are worthy to have his spirit with you, which is his presence. So you get to hang out with him more. And you get to learn about him more if you have his spirit with you. And that only can happen is if you keep the commandments. S!
Sir.
How? How is it that service will help you come to know God better? Mosiah 2:17. You want to get to know yourself better? Serve others. As you do that, as you serve others and come to love others, you're going to come to know God. So think in your mind for a second. When was the last time you gave service to somebody? Now there's big things you can do as far as service goes. In my ward at home, they just did this big service project to put things together for people in Ukraine. That's a big deal. That's like helping serious things that need real serious help, right? That's great. Is that the only things we can do to serve others? Like, there's really simple things you can do today, right? Like, maybe as you're walking away from this, you could let somebody go before you. Like, it's a simple thing, right? You can look at somebody's sad face and say, "Hey, how you doing? Hope you have a good day." And smack them in the back of the head with love. You know, things like that. P.
Pray.
When.
Every day.
R.
Read.
What.
The scriptures.
O.
Obey.
What.
Commandments.
And S.
Serve.
With what. We're going to talk about R. Because R makes me happy. Read the scriptures. Because in the scriptures you will find God. It's about him. It's by him. It's of him. It's, I don't know, whatever other of hims you can think of. The scriptures are about God. How often, so everybody get out something to write with or on, even if it's electronic. Is this possible? Can y'all do this? Do you even have stuff to do to write with or on? It could be electronic. Okay. If you don't, just, you'll have to memorize this and do your best, okay? There's four things I want you to decide today. Now, some of you already have these four things decided, and if that's the case, just review in your mind what you've already decided, and that's cool. Some of you maybe have some of it, but it could be improved upon, so that's what I want you to do, is think about how you can improve it. Some of you don't have this at all. So here's the four things about scripture study that I want you to decide right now. The first one is where. Where physically are you going to be every day to study your scriptures? Now, it needs to be a place that is quiet, where you can be uninterrupted and undistracted. Going up in a tree, that would be good. That's the first one, is where. Make sure you write this down. Decide right now, where every day are you going to physically be while you study your scriptures? Second is what time. What time are you going to study your scriptures every day? Set it. Like, don't let anything else get in the way during that time of your scripture study. Set it. When are you going to study your scriptures? Okay, decide that. Third, how long? Okay, so now we're going to talk about this for just a second, because a lot of times people will, when they start studying their scriptures, they'll decide, I'm going to study my scriptures. I'm going to read 3 verses, 5 verses. I'm going to read a chapter. I'm going to read a page, whatever, those kinds of things, which is fine. Lord will love you and bless you if you do that. However, if you do that, when you actually get to start reading, and let's say you've decided I'm going to read a chapter every night, what is your purpose in reading when you start reading? To finish a chapter, right? And some chapters are long and some chapters are short. And you get to a long chapter, like Jacob chapter 5, and you're like, oh no! And so you just hurry and read it as fast as you can, right? Skipping stuff. That's cool, but what if instead you set a specific time? So let's say that you decide 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour. Today I'm only going to read for 2 hours. That's all. I'm just going to stop at 2 hours. I'm not going to go any more than that. Okay. Let's pretend that you did that instead. Now, when you're studying your scriptures, what is your purpose? It changes, doesn't it? It depends now. It's not just to finish, but now you have all kinds of opportunities to have a different purpose in your scripture study. And that allows you, it gives you permission to stop, slow down, read, really understand. If there's a word you don't get, stop and look it up. If there's a concept you don't understand, look it up. Read some other verses. Read some other, like look at the footnotes. Look some things up. Really study it until you understand it. It gives you permission to do that. It's okay. You can do that. So the fourth thing is purpose. And so it has to do with what we just talked about. If you'll read for an amount of time, oh, that's what you're supposed to decide. We didn't quite get to that part. Decide how much time you want to study your scriptures every day. We said the time of day, but now how much time? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 6 hours, you know, whatever. But decide that every day how much you're going to study. Now, let's talk about purpose. You can decide any sort of purpose that you want to, that you of what you're trying to learn in the scriptures. I'm reading so that I can understand repentance better. I'm reading so that I can increase my faith. I'm reading so I can come to know God better. Let's try that one. We're going to try a couple of things to practice this. Okay, now this is the part where I wish you all had scriptures, but you're going to have to get yourselves together and share to make this one work. We're going to practice one of them. So there's two things, there's two ways that really are helpful when you're trying to study your scriptures with the purpose of coming to know God better. And maybe we should narrow that down and just say coming to know the Savior better. Okay, that's what we're going to focus on right now, coming to know the Savior better. You have glasses. Will you take those glasses off? Can you read my name tag? Can you see that picture? What's it? What's going on in that picture? Who do you see? What do you see?
It kind of looks like a person, a couple people.
Good.
That was vaguely Jesus-like.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Okay, put your glasses on. Now what do you see? Now it's clear. Before you were, maybe it was Jesus, because that's what we're talking about. That's a good guess, right? But now you see it clearly, right? So you see him clearly. See the picture clearly. In your scriptures, as you're reading, if you're not focused on the Savior, you won't see him very often. Or if you see him, you only sort of see him. But if you will put your glasses on, so to speak, and focus on the Savior, you will see him clearly, okay? So here, let me give you, there's two things that you can kind of focus in on to help you with that. The first one is to look for his attributes in the scriptures. What in the world does attributes mean? That sounds weird. What's the word attributes? Like if you're talking about somebody's attributes, things that he does or is, his character and nature, what he's all about. One of your attributes is something about him that kind of defines who he is. That's what you need to look for in the scriptures. In the scriptures, sometimes it makes it really obvious. Jesus is this, right? But most of the time, it's not that way. Most of the time in the scriptures, you got to see him interacting with someone and then just kind of discern it from that, figure it out from that. Because if he did this, that means he's this, right? Okay, so we're going to give a practice. Let's go to, everybody go to 3 Nephi. 3 Nephi chapter 17. We're going to read verses 4 through 7. And as I read these, I'm going to read them out loud. I want you to look for any attributes you can find of Jesus. That's something that tells you about him, right? So he said this. This is when he's in talking to the people in the Book of Mormon, here in the Americas, after he had been crucified and resurrected and came and appeared to them here. He said, "But now I go unto the Father, and also to show myself unto the lost tribes of Israel. For they are not lost unto the Father, for he knoweth whither he hath taken them." And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus spoken, he cast his eyes round about again on the multitude, and beheld they were in tears, and did look steadfastly upon him, as if they would ask him to tarry a little longer with them. And he said unto them, "Behold, my bowels," now in the scriptures, that sounds weird to us, in our the way we talk, but to them, bowels meant something, a different organ that we use. To mean the same thing. Does anybody know what we would insert today that would mean the right thing to us? Yeah, that's what it means. And so what organ in our body do we talk about that refers to our compassion? The heart. So whenever in the scriptures you see talking about the bowels, unless he's like literally like getting disemboweled or something, if it's talking about symbolically your something about your emotions, plug in heart. Okay, because bowels to us sounds weird. He said unto them, behold, my heart is filled with compassion towards you. And then he says, have ye any that are sick among you? Bring them hither. Have ye any that are lame or blind or halt or maimed or leprous or that are withered or that are deaf or that are afflicted in any manner? Bring them hither and I will heal them. For I have compassion upon you. My heart is filled with mercy. Okay, now, in your groups of five or how many ever you had, will you guys just talk about some of the attributes that you see from those verses? Turn and talk. Ready, go. Attributes of Christ that you can discover from those verses. What are... Yep, just those verses. Attributes of Christ. You guys talk? We're going to do... I'm going to let you guys practice this. And because we have a dearth of scriptures, you're going to have to do this a little bit different. So you need to number yourselves 1 through 5. Oldest is 1. Down to 5 is youngest. 1 to 5, all right? Figure that out really quick. Ready, go. Good. Everybody got it? All right, number ones, listen up. So you're the oldest. Remember this reference. This is a reference you the for just for you, okay? Genesis 39, 20 through 23. You got it? Genesis 39, 20 through 23. Turn there if you have your own scriptures. Okay, number two. If you're number two, here it is. John 13, verse 1 and 4 through 5. That's for the twos. Okay, number threes. Mosiah 24, 13 through 15. 4, DNC 18, 10 through 13. Fives. In the Pearl of Great Price, you will look up Moses chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Moses 4, 1 and 2. I want you to look up your verses, read them, and look for at least one attribute of the Savior and be ready to share it. At least one attribute of Savior. I'm going to go through them again. If you need to share scriptures, look up yours when you're done. Hand it off, okay? All right, here's the ones. Genesis 39, 20 through 23. Twos. John 13, 1, 4, and 5. Threes. Mosiah 24, 13 through 15. Fours. Doctrine and Covenants 18, 10 through 13. Fives, Moses 4, 1 and 2. Don't wait for me to tell you. As soon as you have an attribute of the Savior, share it with your group. You guys, I want to challenge you to make sure that you do the simple things that will make a huge difference and heal you. When you're studying your scriptures, look for Christ. Look for attributes, titles, names that will teach you about Christ. P.
Prayer.
When.
Every day.
R. What?
The scriptures.
O.
Obey.
What?
The commandments.
And S.
Serve.
How?
With power.
Beautiful. I want you to know that I know that God lives. And as I do those four things, I come to know Him better. I know that from experience. And I hope to continue to do it throughout my whole life. And I hope you will too. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a non-profit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.